I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by managers.
Fabulous. This week's Dumpty Dum is from Marie Bray, and we are sponsored not by a manager, or maybe she is, Joanne Smith, who sponsored us via PayPal.
This is Dumpty Dum, a show about the reality docudrama that is centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. Royfield has eaten too many mince pies, so I'm Philippa Hall, stepping in for today like David's overcooked vegetables.
But do not fear, I am here, your perfectly crispy Yorkshire pudding. I'm Jacqueline Berto in Saint-Gwen in Brittany, France.
And on this episode, we'll hear from Rob Williams, Ambridge Pony Club, our Jen, who has called in twice, Brian Holding, Claire from Clapham, Catherine, otherwise known as Icod on the Twitters, Richard Beveridge, who's on the Isle of Arran, Witherspoon, and a call that came in too late for last week's show, but is still very relevant this week, from Francesca in Cardiff, and an email from Purple Pumpkin.
Plus, of course, as usual, we have Tweet of the Week from Purple Pumpkin, our Theo, and we have the social media roundup from our Suey, who gets to speak to us twice this week. Don't forget, if you search for Dumpty Dum on YouTube, you'll be able to find hours of video where the lovely Mr. Brown interviews the Archer's actors. Personally, I recommend the interview with Michael Lumsden, who plays Alistair. It was a great piece of work. And of course, we shall be wishing a very warm welcome to our new members of our Facebook group. Now, I know Royfield says this every week, and it's me this time. We need your dum-de-dums to give us a bank of tunes that we can play in the future. So if you fancy singing with your friends or your family, or tooting your tin whistle, or sending us a full orchestral rendition of Barwick Green, please send it to us. It will be most welcome. And hello, Philippa Hall.
Hello, Jacqueline. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm just recovering from my whirlwind trip to London, which I managed to pick up a cold, but hey-ho. How lovely to have you back. Welcome back to Dumpty Dum Towers.
Thank you.
Do you know there are some important, very important topics that we need to discuss before we hear from Sue and the all-important caller winners? The first one is, so, and I know you're a sweet fan, you like cake, etc. So where do you stand on the scone-scone gate? Jam or cream first?
I'm sorry, it's got to be the jam first and then the cream, because otherwise how can you tower enough cream on the top of the jam? It's just not practical.
My argument completely. You see, Royfield, now you've got two dumpty-dum hosts against you. And I think actually 70% of his poll that he did a few weeks ago. But the story continues, and there's a great thread on the Facebook page about an American, I've forgotten your name, who did the experiment making scones and piling cream and jam. Fabulous. I just love that, the fact that what's important for 2022, how do you eat your scone scone?
Absolutely, it's a cliffhanger and something we must all vote immediately.
So how is this week in Ambridge for you, Philippa?
Well, it's not what I expected from the week. Normally the week before New Year's Day, there's a sort of a cliffhanger building up, and I'm, you know, getting really excited and insisting that I listen to Sunday evening's episode. And of course it was Kerry Davis's writing, which is always super, but I don't know. If the cliffhanger is the proposal, then I'm going to need a lot of scones to recover from.
They're definitely playing that one out, aren't they? It's been a bitty week, hasn't it? But I keep saying that. I said that for about the last 3 weeks. Definitely lots of funny stories. And I think Brian, later on, Boogie Squires, expresses my sentiments exactly.
But before we continue our chat, let's look at the week in Ambridge from our Suey, Queen or Tart.
Hello lovely people, it's Suey, Queen or Tart on the Twitters here, and another week in Ambridge. It's been a very confusing week, especially when it comes to romance. But let's start with Brookfield, where Jill is back in the fold, but had nothing to do with Christmas lunch. Did you think that was possible? Because I didn't. There were various heated discussions over Ben deferring his nursing course to the next intake in September, which seems infinitely sensible to me. But David knows best and is understandably miffed to have not been told that there was even a discussion going on without him. He'll get over it. Ben will train Bess and do some work at the Laurels, so, or somewhere very similar. Tony turned up at Brookfield with a guitar gifted by Lillian, which he had received in very bad grace, and got a sound telling off by Pat, which then got smashed in a not quite rock and roll fashion by Leonard and the wind in the door. But of course, Leonard is a master luthier and he'll be able to fix it. Chelsea and Brad attempted to get both Tracy and Jazza not to propose at a time when they wanted to, for very good reasons in their minds at least. The orangery would have been lovely, for example, as would the New Year's Eve bash. But we'll never know what happens on New Year's Eve because it's Saturday, so there'd be no archers. I suppose they meant well. And Follen told Ed and William of George's teenage crush, which he inevitably denied. That's all going to end in tears. This was followed up by Will describing his best Christmas ever when he got a stolen bike, which turned out to be Tracy's, which, let's be honest, was probably nicked before she got it. How can she not have noticed him riding around the village? Inquiring minds want to know. Ben, in the meantime, did Rosie's project of Jack and the Beanstalk in a shoebox far, far too well. Kenton, remarkably, was very good to David and told him to cut both Ben and self him slack. This is very confusing and totally out of character. So, as I say, a confusing week. Till next week then, and have a happy new year, my dears.
Really brilliant. Thank you very much, Suey, and a happy new year to you. So, shall we get on with the important bit?
Come on then, we better had.
Who are we going to play first this week, Philippa?
Well, Jacqueline, first of all, we have our Rob, who is calling about Rosie and her crafting creation.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Hello, Dumpty Dummers around the world. Indeed, hello and a happy new year to you all. How nice it is to hear Philippa again. Could this be a foreshadowing of future events? Royfield did say that his renewed tenure would only be temporary. Could Dumpty Dum's future lie in the hands of Philippa and Jacqueline? Are we seeing the dawning of the age of Falacaline? But back to Ambridge. This must be the silly season for script writers, but one thread did resonate for me. It was the Rosie's homework bit and the dilemma regarding how much help the adults, well, Ben and Pip, should give. It reminded me of a competition when I was in primary school way back in the last millennium. It was a cake-making competition. My entry was a simple sponge cake with a layer of jam in the middle and covered in white icing. It was decorated in a multicolour polka dot pattern made up by the addition of a packet of Smarties. All the entries were lined up in the school hall, and I was blown away by the standard of the other entries. Surprisingly enough, though, I won. To this day, I remember that the prize was a box of Quality Street. My mother said that I probably won because my cake looked like it had actually been made by me. The irony is that the only contact I'd had with that cake was handing the box over to the teacher before the competition. I do appreciate that the moral of this story may be a wee bit confused. Still, here's to an interesting, in a good way, 2023. Take care.
Yeah, I like that, Rob. But I'm sorry, it could be Jackieper rather than Falacaline. Falacaline is too close to other words.
I think he spent a lot of time analysing this, but I like the combo.
Yeah, me too. Whatever you want to go with,
yeah,
Rob.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Now, what a great story as well that it looked like. Now, I do. Have you had to do your children's projects for them?
I have a very embarrassing story, Jacqueline, and I'll be brief about it. But basically, when my youngest was at her first nursery, she was less than a year old.
Oh, for goodness
she
sake.
Got given homework, which was to produce a poster about
what?
Europe. And I don't know what I was thinking of, but I just spent the whole of Sunday creating this incredible thing. And when they put it on their wall of, you know, special items, I was so thrilled and happy. And I just look back and think that's early motherhood where you just can't think clearly at all. What was I doing?
No, definitely not. Yeah. Well, I have to say that about 10 years ago, when my now 21-year-old was doing her project, the French school system changed, and to get through your brevet, which is the equivalent of GCSEs but not really, they put in a lot of connected courses where you had to do your maths, your art, your science and everything. It was all connected. And so in history, we made a book about some people, some Breton people, during the First World War and during the Second World War with all the Marquis, the resistance people. And so she had to make, and it was a we. I'll tell you what, I've never worked so hard in my life. I've never admitted to anyone that it was me that stayed up until midnight making these little models of a forest with gunmen and British Army soldiers. It was like, you think it was Allo Allo? That was me living Allo Allo.
Oh, I've done terrible things. You know, I've written thank you letters when the kids were much younger using my left hand so it looked like their handwriting and all sorts. But why would a school give a young child homework and not
Crazy.
Expect the parents to do it? It's just,
I think
we can safely say our Pip isn't a helicopter parent. She's not doing what
she
I
is.
Did.
But also what I really liked was the fact that Ben did it and he loved it. And he liked that fact that he could, you know, I'm a crafter. I make lots of things. And I love the fact that you set off with a project, you lose your head. You might have Radio 4 or Drama of the Week or whatever on in the background, but you actually lose yourself in it. And Ben discovered that. And I think that's what a lot of us need.
Yeah.
You know, you need to get on with things and forget about the crap in the world, the pressure that's put on you. So good for Ben, but not so good for Rosie. And rubbish for the school for giving a four-year-old homework.
If all the photos on the parents' WhatsApp were showing these works of art, I think Ben should have sent his in. And like me, it could have been on the, you know, the wall of fame and he could have felt happy about it.
Maybe, but I think Ben's, I like the character and I think he's too honest for that. So true. I thought that he should make another one that was rubbish, that was more due to have been done by a four-year-old, but he should keep the original one that he did as a kind of thing for him, but maybe they don't have another shoebox.
Oh, that would be a bit of a shame if they don't. But
indeed.
Yeah, that was a great first call, Rob. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Rob. And a happy new year to you, Rob.
Yes, happy new year. And next we have Jen, our Ambridge Pony Club, who's called twice this week, first with a lovely observation about Archer's fans.
Greetings all Dumpty Dummers. Jen here. I'm going to be very cheeky and do two calls this week because I have something I want to say about the show, But I also just wanted to say thank you so much to everybody on the Twitters and in the Dumdy Dum family for all the support and company when I was stuck in an isolation room in an Irish hospital for a week with pneumonia. And it was really nice to have people that I could be annoying at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. or whatever. And you're a marvellous community. Very kind bunch, and thank you so much for everything. And also thank you to Royfield for the really charming extra episode we had with the Dumdy Dum family and all those great clips from the past. That was superb. And thank you to Jacqueline and Royfield for going the extra mile and recording on Christmas Eve above and beyond the Call of Duty. So wishing everybody a very happy new year. And I would encourage you all, I've never met an Archers fan who wasn't a really nice person, so do come along to Dumdy Dum Live. I'm looking forward to that, and let's all have a really good time in 2023.
Oh, poor Jen. I mean, she really struggled in the run-up to Christmas, and she's got those two young boys. I felt so sorry for her, being feeling so poorly and unable to sleep. I'm a non-sleeper. So we had a lot of conversations in the middle of the night. And I think I agree with everything she said. I've never met or spoken with an Archers fan who isn't just lovely.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's not just the podcast, the Archers, dum-de-dum. It's just lovely Archers listeners. I mean, when I had to stop posting dum-de-dum because of my son's illness, oh, my goodness, the kindness of people, it's just sort of overwhelming. It's yeah, so I agree with Jen. And Jen, I do hope you're recovering now, back at home, and getting some strength back and reading lots of books.
Yeah. Yes, and that's your thing. Well, I quite agree. I hope she's as well. Yeah. I hope she's taken on both our recommendations.
Yeah.
So, Pippa, are you likely to be able to make Birmingham in April?
It's in my diary. It's happening. Yes, I can't wait to see everyone face to face, because we've done all these Zooms and, you know, all these conversations. But to meet everyone, that's going to be a very special time.
So what's your dum-de-dum vintage?
Obviously, like so many people, I was listening to the Archers when my parents listened to it. But then, I mean, I was living in Jamaica and I would listen to it then and ever since. So when I first started listening to it on my own, I was probably 20, 21 and would listen to the omnibus on a Sunday. And it's part of me, you know. It just feels wrong if I don't listen to it. But I have to say, having found out a few days ago that I was co-hosting this episode with you, going back and re-listening to the episodes this week, hearing it for a second or a third time, there's so many little bits that you pick up that you don't get the first time round. Is that the same for you?
Yeah, absolutely the same. I listen the first time round when I'm walking the dogs in the morning. And then I usually in the afternoon when I'm having a cup of tea, I sit down and listen again. And then usually on a Sunday afternoon, because Royfield and I in general, when we're not bothered by Christmas or New Year, record on a Sunday evening. So I sit down, listen to the calls, and I listen to the whole omnibus through again and make my notes and everything. So I've had it at least three times and it's good. But what I want to know is, when did you start listening to Dumdy Dum?
Oh, gosh. Now, I wasn't an OG like you, but I was early on. It wasn't episode one, but it was early on. I started calling in fairly early on as well. It was a good few years before I started co-hosting. So, yeah, Dumdy Dum has been important to me for a long time. But were you episode one or episode two you started?
Well, in fact, episode two, I found it. Obviously, I then listened to episode one. And I remember exactly where I was in February 2017 as I was driving along the M11 in the UK and I listened to Dumdy Dum and our lovely Millie Bell, the much loved and much missed Millie Bell, said she did the social media roundup and she said, and Jacqueline Bertrand. Oh, I was so excited that I'd made the airway. So, you know, I do have a long history with Dumdy Dum. And I have to say, I'm because I'm a complete Archers fan, but I'm also a complete fan of Dumdy Dum. And I just love the fact that Roy Fields and people like you have given me the chance to do this podcast. You know, it's just brilliant.
When you first started doing it earlier this year, it was May, wasn't it?
As
you
May, said. Yeah.
Was it what you imagined when you actually sat down and started recording?
Well, I don't know, because I've had lots of conversations with Roy Fields over the years, and Roy Fields called me a couple of times when my daughter died, and I was stuck in York in a little house in lockdown. Roy Fields and I spoke, and I've always had lots of ideas of things about sponsorship and all the rest of it. And just when I started doing Dumdy Dum, apart from the several problems we had with internet connections and things, Roy Fields is like talking to an old mate. I feel like I've known him all my life. He's such an easy guy to talk to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it just flows for me. And I do waffle. Sorry, I'm waffling now, aren't I?
Yeah, but I'm in charge of editing this week, not Roy Fields, so it's staying and it's fine.
And one of the things, you know, going back to Jen's call, I mean, I love the contact that I've had with Jen. She's such an interesting person. But also, I have to say, the Dumdy Dum family for me in the last 2 years have kept me sane. The people have kept me thinking positive, kept me thinking, you know, we're all with you. We all struggle. Lots of people have tears in their lives. And, you know, I can't help it. I'm sorry. I know I kind of seem to always come back to it, but it's something that's been very big to me. So the Dumdy Dum family for me is, you know, so close. So people you've never met, but they're my real brothers and sisters. So, and I can't wait until April.
Well, and there's any family, we're there in the good and the bad.
Absolutely.
To, you know, celebrate or commiserate.
Absolutely.
It's what it's all about. It's lovely. But yes. Yeah, so thank you, Jen, for that call.
Yeah, brilliant.
And now we have a call from Brian, who is thinking it has all gone a bit weird over Christmas.
Hello all, it's Brian. Happy New Year to everybody. I missed the first few episodes this week, but I've caught up now. And I have to say, there is an awful lot of plot threads going on this week. I had trouble keeping up with it all. You got Tony and his guitar. You got Brad and Chelsea on the proposal or non-proposal. We've got the George and his crush on Fallon, or not crushing Fallon, but probably crushing Fallon on Fallon. Jill and back at Brookfield. The end of the Coatgate business. It's all a lot of things, but nothing very much of substance. Yeah, I said last week everything seems to go a bit weird over Christmas with the storylines. Case in point on the Tony and his guitar business, I thought, they've given the guitar to Tony, which he didn't really want. He's given it to David at the end of that storyline. No, Leonard smashes it, so he's going to fix it, which is another thread to go through. It's all very odd. But, it's been an exhausting week. Hopefully things will settle down in the new year. But that's all I've got to say, really. Have a lovely new year, everybody. And I'll speak to you again soon. Bye.
Yeah, happy new year, Brian. And thank you for that. Yeah, I agree. It's all a bit weird. I dislike this week between Christmas and New Year. And I think those bitty stories, too many little stories. And as you said earlier, Philippa, yeah, we're waiting for something big, but will it happen?
Yeah, I agree with you, with Brian. And Brian, thank you for that call. It's lovely to hear from you. What is going on with this proposal? I mean, why do they think it's a good idea to talk Tracy out of marriage in the thought that then she'll accept a wedding proposal? It defies belief. I do think that this is my idea of what's going to happen for New Year's Day when we tune in to listen to it on Sunday evening, that Brad and Chelsea are going to have to, I don't know, get some fairy lights out and arrange a way of getting Tracy and Jazza together and sort of getting them both to propose. It's going to be cringy, but I think they're going to have to get involved because they've made such a mess of it. Yeah. I just don't understand what they're thinking.
Yeah, I agree. It's all very cringy and it's just the kind of, oh gosh, where are they coming from? Yeah. We'll have to just see how it comes out in the wash.
We're used to people falling off roofs and having babies and all sorts of things at New Year. This is not what we want. We want some drama.
Maybe.
Oh, not. Maybe that's just me then. Maybe people are just happy.
Yeah. You go for the drama and I'll just sit with the...
Calm.
Well, next we have our Claire from Clapham, who is concerned about the dynamic with the Grundy parents.
Hi, Dumpty Dum. It's Claire from Clapham here. A very happy new year to all. And a very big hello to Philippa, who's helping to host this week. So one of the things that I really liked this week in the Archers was how Will and Ed just get on with each other. I know a lot of the time that I've been listening to the Archers, they've just been at each other's throats all the time, you know, and I just think that it's a real indication of the change that we've seen since Will's attempted suicide, about the way that their dynamic has changed, the way that they worked together, and that Fallon felt that she could go to them together to talk about George, and that they worked together, you know, sort of going, oh, well, you know, he's your son. Oh, well, he lives with you. But, you know, like, basically, you know, there's a time when they would have been very bolshy about being the person who's the kind of key person in George's life, whatever. But now they're so much better at supporting each other and getting on with each other. And Ed's being encouraging to Will about doing his Christmas story for the Chronicles and so on. I thought that was all really lovely and just goes to show how relationships can get better over time. Even when they're estranged. So that's all nice. But on the Christmas Chronicles, why would Linda be asking Pip on the day of the event to say, oh, can you show up at 6 in a tea room and do your story? Like, that's, I mean, I know that everything in the village is last minute, but that's really last minute. And, like, we all have our moans about Pip, but she's a working single parent. She's got stuff to do. You know, like, she can't just necessarily show up at any particular time. And I think we sort of, they all take for granted that this all stuff happens at the last minute. And Linda's got this reputation for being this great organiser, but she's often very last minute about these things. Anyway, speak to you soon. Keep up the good work and have a good new year.
Yeah. So what did you think about the William and Ed with Fallon conversation and then moving it on to George?
Yeah, I think Claire's absolutely right that it's nice to see that the dynamic between Will and Ed has calmed down and they're not vying for the attention of being, of parenting George. But
yeah,
I was a bit bewildered why Fallon, I don't know, I wouldn't have gone if it was myself to Ed and Will and talked to them. If I was Fallon, I'd have just said something straight away to George, just to sort of nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a grown woman, for goodness sake. Why did she go running to his father's? No, I didn't understand that either. But we don't know what that's going to lead to. But I didn't like his reaction, George's reaction.
No, absolutely not. And we've got a call about that later on. But yeah, it was quite strange. But this, the book, The Christmas Chronicles, or as Kenton called it, Chronically Christmas. My question is, why do you launch a book the week after Christmas when it's a Christmas book? Surely you launch it the week before so people order it for Christmas presents, everyone's getting festive. Once you're past Christmas, people don't necessarily want to hear as much about it.
Yeah, I know. And you should know these things, Philippa, Mrs. QuickBook Reviews. But I agree with you. And in fact, all the way through December, I kept saying to Royfield, what is going to happen with these Christmas Chronicles? It was kind of created by accident. And then, what's she going to do with them? So obviously it was a thing at the tea rooms. So it was a way of getting people in the village together. But a book, really? You need more than Will Grundy and Pip. But I agree with Claire. You know, it's all very last minute. Yeah. How can you make the cut at for 5 o'clock in the evening for 6 o'clock in the evening?
Well, and Linda asking Pip and Pip saying no, she couldn't make it. And so Linda said, oh, there's tea and cake. And Pip was saying, oh, I'm in, I'll do it. I thought, you didn't even ask what type of cake.
No, exactly. Yeah. She's you. That's just exactly what you would
do. Yeah, but that would have been my question first. What type of cake are we talking here? How much buttercream is there? But again, with this book, I don't know. Has Linda been waiting for it to arrive from the publishers, or has she just run it off on a photocopy or handwritten it?
I think it's a photocopied thing at the moment, but for next Christmas we'll see a whole big production, so we'll see. Well, it's one that's in the balance, I think, Philippa, at the moment.
Well, I await it with an equal amount of interest and fear.
Good for you. Now, we've had four calls, so we need to tell you that the best and easiest way for you to record a message or a plot prediction is to go to www.speakpipe.com/dumtydum. Now, don't forget that T in the middle. And you will also find a link in the show notes. Or you can send us a voice note via WhatsApp on 0044 7957 167 696.
Now, please, we do need your calls in by 6 p.m. on a Sunday, UK time. Do keep your call to a maximum of 2 minutes and bear in mind you need to be at least 18 to take part. Don't worry, folks, we should be back to normal by next week. Well, I say we. Jacqueline and Royfield will be back to normal by next week.
We definitely should be. But don't forget that we do need your help. That includes Philippa and other presenters of Dumpty Dum. There are three things you can do. First of all, if you haven't already, hit the subscribe button on Apple iTunes or whichever podcast streamer you use. Secondly, please give us a 5-star review and it'd be hugely appreciated, but especially if it's on Apple iTunes. We always bang on about Apple iTunes, but it's the one. And finally, the third thing is that you could consider becoming a Patreon. Now, Patreon is a way of tipping creators and there are different levels with different rewards. If you go to patreon.com and search for Dumtydum, we would be absolutely tickled pink to have your support. You can also go to dumtydum.com and hit the donate button, just like Joanna Smith did for this show, and you've become a sponsor of our weekly show. But before we go back to our calls, don't forget that you can also send us a written message via WhatsApp to that same number, 0044 7957 167 696, if you don't fancy hearing your voice being broadcast.
So now let's get back to our calls.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
And we have Catherine, who has been much missed and is back to tell us what has irked her this week.
Hello, it's Catherine phoning in for the first time in about a year. What a joy to see Philippa on the cast list. Maybe we could one day get Quentin back as well. He's probably under a pile of Christmas cheese in the corner, slobbering around. So poor old Quentin, let's get him back too. That would be really good fun. Right, firstly, Ardil and Lily. So Ardil must be mid-30s, I'm reckoning, with a strangely even more wooden-sounding voice since his little break. And Lily, I would say 21 maybe, since her stint with the Kitchens. That's quite a gap, isn't it, at that age? But they've got that thing going on, you know, the whole rom-com, I hate you, until they decide that they actually love each other. But just imagine if they got together, what a power couple. There would be Grey Gables, still confusingly shut for the longest ever renovation in any kind of small-scale country house hotel. And then Lily, with whatever the name of that place is that she lives in, would be brilliant. Does Ardil own Grey Gables? I got the impression he was a manager for somebody else, but it seems so long ago since it all started that I can't remember. So that will be worth watching. Rosie and the school mums and the homework thing. What a nonsense. I'm a teacher, admittedly secondary. We've been told not to set homework. The idea that a primary school, A, sets homework for reception class and B, over Christmas, is just a nonsense. And I hate all that spider stuff and no one gives a toss about stupid Rosie. Talking of which, we haven't heard of Henry for ages. I'd hoped Rob might come back one Christmas, but no, I don't think to happen. And then lastly, Fallon and George. I fear that this is going to end up in a really tricky storyline. I think George is being set up as a sort of weirdo predator, because I think Fallon is going to be assaulted and all eyes are going to fall on him. Mm. And it's all going to be one of those long running storylines that we all actually enjoy. So happy New Year, everyone. And so excited to see you back, Philippa. And well done, Jacqueline, for keeping the show going. Bye.
Oh, very good.
Oh, thank you so much, Catherine, for that. Yes. And Quentin, hello. Miss you, my co-hosting pal. But yes, Jacqueline, what do you think about this theory about George being set up as a predator?
Well, it's very interesting because I didn't like his reaction when his two fathers told him that Fallon, and then the meeting with Fallon, where he was actually vicious. And we know he's a baddie. We don't like him. I don't like him. Do you like him?
I don't dislike him, but I don't like him.
I'm suspicious of him, I think.
Yeah.
So it'd be very interesting to see where it's going. The idea that Fallon will be attacked one dark night on the streets of Ambridge and George will be in amongst the suspects. Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't surprise me. I think it's a good call, Catherine. I also like her saying about Ardil and Lily. They are a power couple because they're both very determined. I mean, I know he's managing Grey Gables and she is absolutely the ultimate power person. She's got a... She's focused, isn't she?
Yes.
So, well, we'll have to wait and see.
And this comment about it being Grey Gables being shut for the longest ever renovation. I agree. It's been closed longer than I haven't been hosting Dumpty Dum. What is going on?
Yeah, but it's not very long. It's not very long, really, in the we had work done here in at the beginning of 2022, and it took... I mean, it's just one floor of the house with three rooms in it. And it took 2 months to get all the work and everything back up to scratch. So, I don't know, maybe a whole hotel. And there was a whole conversation, wasn't there? Oh, you've left the... You got rid of the extension. So it's major, major work. So, you know, I'm not so impatient as Catherine, if we could say that, Catherine, sorry. I think that the works are on a scale, but... As from a commercial point of view, of course, it's rubbish, isn't it? You know, you buy a hotel.
Where's the money?
Exactly. You missed. But also, they missed the summer. They shut down at the beginning of the summer holidays when people would be in Borsetshire for their summer breaks and family celebrations.
And as it's been said already, you know, there are bedrooms in the hotel and yet Ardil is staying away with Linda.
Crazy. Is he still there? I think we've lost the plot on that one.
I believe he's still there singing in the shower, but but we don't know. But no, well, thank you, Catherine. That was wonderful. And now we have Richard Beveridge, our very own Biffo prop, who's calling from the Isle of Arran, where it is so windy, it's actually hard to hear all of his message. But hopefully you'll get the joyful gist. Put simply, Richard has a fascinating view that Leonard is not actually human, but he's Jill's guardian angel.
Hello, Philippa. Good evening. Hilary, bonsoir, madame Depto. I do hope you're both well. It's Richard Beveridge here. Biffo Pop recently restored to the Twitters. Greetings from the windswept Isle of Arran, where Mrs. Biffo Pop and I are spending a period between Christmas and New Year hypothesis that Leonard doesn't actually exist. He's helped Jill through a great recent crisis and helped her stay, especially behind the wheel at high speed. And by default, he's become Brookfield's guardian angel. Witness care and support for Ben over recent weeks, especially when Vince was given out to him in the pub. He's decorating the rooms for Ruth, who would probably put the paint on upside down. And he's probably about to effect a miraculous cure for Tony's guitar. As we stand at the gate of the year, I wanted to wish all Dumpty Dummers a happier, better and healthier 2023, especially Philippa's dad. Tickety tonk.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Wasn't that lovely? Yeah, I should just explain. My father has a connection to a school that Richard is also connected to, and we've got to know each other through Dumpty Dum, which is lovely. So thank you so much for that, Richard. And I love how he signs off Tinkety Tonk.
Tinkety Tonk, it's lovely, isn't it?
What do you think about Leonard being guardian angel, Jacqueline?
Well, he's definitely a Mr. Do-it-all, isn't he? I love Leonard. I just love the character of Leonard. I love his voice. I love the actor's voice. You know, he can do no wrong. The only thing for me is, why is he with Jill? And maybe that is the answer. He is placed there by Phil to guide her in a better direction.
The only thing he didn't do that I was expecting was to talk Jill round about what happened with Ben. I know Leonard is very careful about getting involved in family matters, and he's very respectful of that. But I did think at some point there might be a conversation with him just saying, oh, well, you know, just showing the other side for her to consider. But
It's possible. But in fact, I think you say he's very respectful of the family dynamic. He's happy to do practical things, but doesn't want to get involved emotionally and has left Jill to do her own thing with the family. And I think it worked out perfectly well for them. All forgiven, obviously. Even Ruth was forgiving.
Yes, indeed she was. I love that theory. I'm going to listen again with renewed interest in Leonard to see what happens. So, Richard, thank you. And we hope you got off the island safely. I think you were travelling back today. So hope the wind subsided for you. But
so do I. You don't want a ferry crossing in this wind.
Oh, no, you had a bit of a one travelling back from England.
I did. Yeah, I did. Back on Wednesday night, I struggled in September with a ferry crossing, and I thought, oh God, that must be the worst ever. Oh no.
No.
I'm never travelling between Christmas and New Year ever again. So there we go.
Oh dear. Well, with all that's been going on with Ben and the Brookfield gang, I think we really need to call on the professionals. And who better than Witherspoon, our highly qualified psychiatrist.
Hey baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings, Philippa, Jacqueline, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. A happy new year to all. I need to have a word with Rosie's kindergarten teacher, and while I'm at it, with the scriptwriters about child development. 4 to 5-year-olds are perfecting the ability to color in the lines and draw pictures of basic faces and bodies. How could they be expected to create complicated dioramas of fairy tales? I know this hopefully brief storyline was meant to poke fun of interfering parents and online local moms groups, but maybe wait until Rosie's a bit older to explore this. I do have a confession. When I was in second grade, I believe, I had to create a diorama about Bambi. It included a beautiful figure of the aforementioned deer, and I received the top grade for it. But indeed, my father did most of the work, and I felt guilty about it for the past 56 years. This connects to Rosie's grandfather, David, and his own parenting skills. I like David, but he can be emotionally tone-deaf at times. On the other hand, what he and Ruth are going through is challenging. I definitely agree with Ben's decision to take a medical leave of absence from his studies. I've seen this situation and have recommended that course of action many times in my practice. In the interim, Ben working in an assisted living facility seems like a great idea. David is careening all over the place between overprotection and tough love. I would recommend, with Ben's permission, that David and Ruth talk with his counselor and/or psychiatrist for guidance about the best ways to support Ben through this. And I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Oh, what a good call. As always, very professional. Mm. Ben and the Brookfield gang, they really need to take on board the fact that Ben is being followed by some professionals. And David in particular needs to take into account what the professionals are saying.
It hadn't occurred to me that how important it would be for David and Ruth to sit down, as Witherspoon says, with Ben's permission, with Ben's counsellors. Mm. And yes, this makes complete sense, because then David might just understand. I was very offended when he was talking to Kenton about, oh, Ruth wants Ben to do basket weaving and jigsaws. That's not...
me too.
That's not what Ruth's saying at all. So, Witherspoon is right, as always.
I think the misunderstanding between David and the rest of the family is that he's thinking in his own little head and he's not communicating with Ruth. Him and Ruth, but that's an interesting point, isn't it? Where does that problem between Ruth and David, is that a deep source in their marriage, or is it just one of those things that, you know, it's one of those things that irritates him now, or is this going to lead to deeper angst about their marriage for David?
That's so interesting, because the explosion of the pregnancy with Chelsea and Ben was one thing, and then we've seen all these ripples already. And then if there are further ripples that then break up that marriage. I mean, when you've had a child go through such difficulties, it's bound to have an impact on the marriage. But,
absolutely,
you know, then they could go for counselling themselves as a couple. There's so much that could be done. But as you say, David just doesn't see it.
This. But in fact, I think I'm going to jump in and take a part of your script, because I think the next call is from Jen, our Ambridge Pony Club. She's back and she's focusing about David and his immeasurable failings, and we're kind of touching on that with our conversation now.
You're absolutely right. Let's go to Jen now.
Greetings, Jen here. Just wanted to call in on the Ben storyline. First and foremost, mental health problems are really common. I'm from a reasonably large family, rife with depression. I don't know a cousin who hasn't suffered from depression, including myself. My brother had very serious issues similar to Ben. We've had people with addiction. We've had people with all kinds of mental health issues. It's time that we just recognise that they are what they are. They're an illness. They're treatable. They're very common. They're difficult, you know. You do need good care, you do need good support, but we just need to be more aware of what can be done, how to get help for our families and get it all sorted out and stop being so stupid about it like David Archer. Ben, I am grateful that they've gone down the line where the support he got was fantastic. He got his nurse every day. He's so well that he sounds like he's swallowed a textbook. He completely understands his condition. He's advocating for himself. He's repairing all the relationships. He's teaching his family. It is a bit much that he's done that in a few weeks, though. I mean, one thing I do know about these things is it can take a lot of time to sort them out. And actually, going back to college in September sounds like a pretty fantastic result, David. The David attitude, I don't like how they've done that. I understand where they're coming from, that they want to show that there is stigma and prejudice and how wrong that is, and David's being a fool. So how is a young man with mental health issues meant to feel when they're listening to the Archers and they're listening to the story of Ben and his father is basically suggesting that he should be locked up in the attic and can't be shown to the guests because he might say something crazy? I mean, there's actually so much stigma. I think they had a duty to show the characters responding to Ben in a matter-of-fact, positive, healthy way. But that's just my take on it. Very glad Ben's better. And I hope something happens to wake up David Archer to quite how appalling he's being.
I 100% agree with everything that Jen said about David and his attitude.
Yes, I do. I mean, you know, David has the emotional intelligence of an earwig, really.
Yeah. Good analogy.
He's just old school, head down, keep going, keep busy, and it doesn't work. And although it makes me very angry to hear David saying all of that, in a way, I think it's useful to have it there so that people can see that that view is wrong. And I hope that that does help educate maybe other parents who are, you know, going through it and maybe taking the wrong view on what their children are going through or a friend, whatever, that I just hope it helps to highlight the wrong way of doing it and the right way. Because if it doesn't, then why is that
it's
in
very
there?
Very good. Very, very relevant.
And David said, you know, when he was cooking the Christmas Day lunch, all it takes is planning an organisation.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Thank you. I'm very good at planning an organisation, but I can't cook for my life. It doesn't.
No.
His views are just wrong, but...
Yeah, he's black and white, isn't he, David? Mm. But I have to say, this week, the conversation he had with Kenton was less acerbic than they've had in the past. Often they bicker and there's a kind of underlying, I'm better than you, or you're the youngest child, you're the one who got the farm, or I'm the relaxed playboy or whatever. But we didn't have that this week. It was much much more even conversation. So, you know, maybe they're trying to show David in a reasonable light, because in fact he's very unreasonable.
Oh, it just, yeah. It must be hard to act those lines, I think, when, you know, your everything goes against what that person is saying, but that's part of acting.
Yeah, I guess so. Guess so.
Well, thank you so much, Jen. That was a superb second call from you. And on a lighter note, we had a call that came in a little late last week, but we were keen to still include it. Our Francesca hasn't called in for a while, but she's back with a very unique take on Adil and his love interests.
Hello, hello. It's Francesca here in Cardiff. I haven't called her in a word for a while, but I've been listening lately to the Adil and Lily storyline. And I thought to myself, didn't the last thing we hear from Adil be that he was sniffing around Kirsty and that Kirsty was also interested in him? So then it got me thinking, well, we haven't had a polyamory storyline on the Archers as far as I know. So wouldn't it be cool to have Adil with both Kirsty and Lily? That might be a fun thing.
Fun?
Great idea, Francesca. It certainly made me sit up and think, but, oh, well, Kirsty does a job share with Rec, so maybe she'll do a couple share with Lily.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Oh, dear. I don't even want to go there. I'm sorry, Philippa. I think this is one that we'll park as a good idea, possibly. We'll wait for the script writers to pick it up and we'll discuss at a future date.
But Francesca, good to hear your voice again.
Yeah,
do call in again.
Yeah, good plan. So that's it. We've gone through all our caller inners and we have one email message.
Yes, it's Purple Pumpkin and she writes, "Hi, Jacqueline and Philippa and Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's your pal Purple Pumpkin emailing in with a thought about Ben's storyline. As well as the incredibly rapid recovery, I've been very struck that neither Rory nor Beth seem to have made contact with Ben. This is a small village and everyone seems to know what has gone on. So would his former best friend and former girlfriend not have sent him even a note? I know Rory and Ben fell out over Julianne, but they were so close for so long and Rory can often be very kind, so I'd really expect him to have shown up. And that's not to mention the girls on Ben's course who we heard about when he was with Beth. Here's hoping for some pals for Ben in 2023. Thanks for all you do for the podcast and wishing all Dumpty Dummers a happy and healthy new year." Yeah, healthy Jacqueline.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I didn't manage to mute my thing before I sneezed. I'm really sorry. I just use a handkerchief,
Pippa. Wipe down the microphone. Purple Pumpkin is quite right, though. Ben needs friends that he can have a laugh with and talk to without every word being overanalyzed. You know, just people to kick things around with and just...
I agree. He needs Rory, but also, as Purple Pumpkin says, you know, those girls that he apparently gets on well with on his course, they need to be around supporting him and encouraging him about going back in September. So we'll just have to wait and see on that one. But a good email in. Thank you very much.
Yes, absolutely.
Purple Pumpkin, our Theo. So now let's hear what our Facebook posse have been talking about on the Dumpty Dum Facebook with our fabulous Sue to tell us what's been going on.
Hello, lovely people. It's Sue here, Queen Otter on the Twitters. And on to the Dumpty Dum Facebook roundup for the last week in December. It's only a short one today as we prep for the end of 2022 and the start of the new year. We now have, let me tell you, 2,224 members. The special episode this week brought out calls for hearing the old Ambridge voices requested by Jane Gage and others, but it sounds like most of us would like to hear them again. There are a couple of old audiobooks on Audible, including one on Brian and Siobhan's affair I can highly recommend. Christy Nicol asked, "What's going to happen with the Brad and Chelsea stopping the proposal?" She said, "I'm thinking just the two of them will crash the date and end up doing the proposing. Seems just smaltzy enough for the end of year Archers. I do like Rob Williams' suggestion. I have a feeling that Jazza and Tracy may just have a touch of the real world about them and actually speak to each other and have tweaked what's going on. I think they'll either come back engaged or wind Chelsea and Brad up by saying they've split up." Well, that's going to be interesting to see. Melly Merriweather put up a link to a hilarious interview with a ferret trouser. which ended with him being bitten in a rather tender place. It's very well worth the watch. Ruth Pearl continued her experiments with scones, or scones, and which goes on first, and she has concluded to jam that the argument will roll on forever. Kate Lyle admitted that the problem is that in all the wrong things, David is right about Ben and the B&B, just the wrong reasons. And Andrew Stewart said, David and Ruth strike me as the archetypal British parents. They're basically kind and well-meaning, but get everything wrong. Is that a metaphor for life? Thanks, everyone, for your contributions this year, and I wish you all the very best for 2023.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you, Sue. Oh, that's great for... yeah, there are lots of conversations going on. So if anybody out there is not a member of the Facebook group, and I know lots of people don't do Facebook, but it's really worth joining Facebook, if only to join the Dum-de-Dum page, because there's lots of discussions. And that horrible video from BBC Sheffield about the wretched ferrets a la Grundy made me shudder. I can't stand anything like that. Did you see it?
Do you know, I think that's the one thing on the Facebook group I haven't seen. I'm there all the time, so I don't know how I miss. I think my phone must automatically hide things like that from me, so I don't...
Yeah, you wouldn't like it, Philippa, I can tell you. No. 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 But thank you to everyone who's posted their thoughts on the Dum-de-Dum Facebook group.
And this week we have three lovely new members, so let's wish a very warm Dum-de-Dum welcome to Anne Stevenson,
Kavita Pillay,
and Drew Hamilton. Drew, I thought you were on before, but if you weren't on before, it's good to have you
on. I think he's a comebackera.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome back to the fold, Drew. Anyway, this week everyone has been too busy with the festivities to leave us a review, but there's always next week. Please don't say anything bad about me. Royfield will be back next week. You'll be fine. Anyway, we can be found on Twitter under the name of @dumdydum. We always include the Archers, capital T, capital A, hashtag, so the visually impaired can enjoy any Archers-based tweets. Also, that hashtag is your opening for the tweet along, both in the evenings and during the omnibus. I can always be found @QuickBookReview with a 3, not a W. But Royfield is so over Twitter, so don't even go there.
And I'm @JBertoSanguin. So please try and include @DumDeeDum in your tweet so more people get to see it, which helps to keep our community growing. And I think we're going over to Thea for Tweet of the Week.
We are indeed.
Hello, Philippa, Jacqueline and DumDeeDummers everywhere. It's Purple Pumpkin here with a selection of Tweets of the Week and one Tweet of the Week. I must say, Mastodon is not really taking over from Twitter yet. And personally, I'm hoping that with Mr. Musk stepping away from the blue bird, we might have Twitter back as a safe space for the Archers tweet along, with all the old regulars back next week after the Christmas break. But first to Mastodon, where Molwyn at molwyn@toot.wales tells us she really enjoyed a radio drama written by Katie Redford, who plays Lily Pargeter in The Archers. You can catch up with that. It's called Christmas Wings and is on BBC Sounds. On Twitter, there was a lot of speculation about why Ruth would think that David feels guilty about Nigel, when in fact he also killed Jethro Larkin, who I think was Clary's father, and also an unnamed badger, the latter definitely deliberately. Cosmo at Cosmo100 is the best source to follow for all long-term story recollections. Also on Twitter, Master Jack Archer at Titchener Baby is keeping a lot of us amused over the group rounds of a World Cup of the Archers characters, with each group stage match represented by a fixed duration poll. At the time of writing, Chelsea is killing it in the Horobin group, Group 3. And so to the Twitter medals, with thanks as ever to anyone who tags @DumDeeDum to make sure we see all the best tweets. In bronze position, it's newcomer @BagWalla. Ruth and David say, Ben must find some work, but not that work, but also avoid work, while getting out in the world and also hiding away. Real parents say, we have no experience in this and no idea about what's good for our recently suicidal son. Shall we ask a professional? Oh, Bagwalla, I think you haven't been in Ambridge long enough. Paging Witherspoon. In silver, Sarah Mattox at Sarah_Mattox says, I hope George doesn't proposition his mother instead of Fallon. And in gold, it's our own Ambridge Pony Club at Jen J. Stephen. In the next episode, it turns out Leonard is an experienced life coach and family therapist. He sorts out David and Ruth while repairing the guitar and repainting the living room. I definitely leaned at Leonard in my life. That's it for this week. Hope to see you all in Twitter in 2023.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Theo. That was brilliant. And I agree. I think I need a Leonard in my life. Do you, Philippa?
Oh, my goodness. The thought of having a guardian angel. I just love that. I mean, Leonard can't draw a picture. He's not very good at his painting.
No, but if he can do walls, then that's fine.
Yeah, exactly. We'll forgive him that. Yes.
He'll be doing Rosie's project soon as well, you know. He'll have taken over the whole thing. He'll be doing the milking as well. So, you know, he's here to stay. He's here to stay. Thank you, Phil, for sending him via Richard Beveridge. So don't forget, we are also on Instagram and it's at DumDeeDum. So do follow us there.
Thanks, as ever, to all our contributors and to our social media supremos, Shambridge for her voices, and to our podcasting godmother, Lucy V. Freeman.
And so probably that's a wrap, but can I wish you a very, very happy new year, Philippa, to you and your family.
Oh, thank you.
What are you doing this evening? Do you do a party or do you just... pyjamas in front of the telly. Oh.
Yeah, I'm not a late nighter. I'm a lark, not an owl. So I will
go
to bed early. I'm not up to staying for midnight and all of that. So, yeah.
Of course, you have a podcast to edit before you can even go to bed tonight.
Exactly. There'll be no New Year's Eve for me. It'll be editing it, but never mind. But Jacqueline, thank you so much for putting up with me this week.
Now, putting up with you. It's you that's doing all the heavy lifting there with the editing. It's been an absolute delight to meet you for the first time and speak directly with you. I know we've messaged a lot in the past, especially about books, but... Yeah. I hope that we'll have the opportunity to meet in April with the DumDeeDum/Academic Archers meetup. And then we can both beat Roy Phil Brown to a pulp.
Sounds good to me. Well, happy new year to you and yours, Jacqueline. Happy new year to all the lovely DumDeeDummers. Thanks so much. Take care.
Ditto, ditto.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.